hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
When you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me, and that's the name of this program here on RightWingResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people, and of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening in the European heartland. Well, lots more news and views, and I want to take you first of all to some thoughts about last night's federal election in Canada. Certainly not the result many of us might have hoped for. Most desirable of all would have been a victory for the People's Party of Canada and Maxime Bernier. Now, that was probably not in the cards first time out, but we also, many of us, hoped that he would do well. He would retain his own seat. He'd been a Conservative member of Parliament, representing the Beauce for 3 election terms. We were hoping he would be re-elected in his own right. He missed out. He came second. This is, of course, a big disappointment, but we hope the party will go on. We had hoped that a number of the candidates across the country would do well, including a good friend of mine in Red Deer, Alberta, Laurel Lynn, Tyler Thompson. Some of these candidates turned in a respectable performance, but none to really challenge for the gold ring. I'm going to get to some of the dirty tricks played on the party, but the first time out, you expect it's going to be, Canadians are going to want to see a party establish itself before they will entrust it with a seat. And that's of course was the experience of the Green Party that ran for several decades before they elected their first member of Parliament. So slow progress is not necessarily disappointment. Not, of course, what we idealistically might have hoped for, but still not necessarily cause for despair. Now, the final results, and I think they are pretty much final, is that the Liberals got 155 seats, the Conservatives got 121, the NDP 25, the Bloc about 33, and one the Greens 3, and one independent. Now, the results were not probably what anybody had hoped for. Trudeau hoped to coast back to power. That did not happen for a variety of reasons. Widespread discontent in the West, his increasingly sleazy record as a liar, the fact that he'd been involved in this corrupt SNC-Lavalin affair, where he tried to basically for some corporate pals influence a very sweetheart treatment and on the part of his government. There are many good reasons to get rid of Trudeau. He's a glib campaigner. Andrew Scheer, the Conservative leader, is probably a decent enough type, but not very inspiring. And at crucial times in the campaign, he seemed to lack principles. For instance, he said, giving in to the very bad advice, I think, of some of the big boys, he almost repudiated his own stand on issues like abortion and same-sex marriage. He'd spoken out against both. And while he said, well, he would not allow these issues to be revisited. Well, nothing should be sacred. Now, it might not be his party's policy to revisit the issues, of course. That's one thing. When somebody says they believe in something, but they won't do anything about it, it engenders one of several thoughts. Either they don't really believe in it, or they're not to be trusted. Now, the leftist media has made such a fetish of the absolutely untrammeled right of a woman to slay her unborn child right up until its head pops out from her vagina. That has become non-negotiable. Well, that's the way it is with the Liberals and the Socialist NDP and the supposedly pro-life Greens. Well, they might be in favor of the life of a polar bear, but not of a human being. So, but it's been common wisdom that you can't take any other stand and survive. Andrew Scheer left a bad feeling that he didn't have the courage of his convictions. And that was crucial, because, of course, the Liberals tried to portray him as a party who attracted pro-lifers. Oh, my God, no. Rather than a pro-abortionists, or that some of the party members were not entirely reconciled to the radical LGBTQ agenda, which Andrew Scheer said he was. He had it, might have his own views, but same-sex marriage and these things would never be rolled back. I think this is a bad choice. Now, you might choose not to make these issues as your chief issues in election, and I can see that. But I think he showed weakness, and that is fatal, especially when the country, rightly or wrongly, was looking for leadership, the leadership of the supposed sunny ways, grinning, selfie-taking, progressive, Justin Trudeau with his fine head of hair, an ultra-feminist, a diversity type, and so on. That leadership had been severely questioned and large, in many cases, shown to be something of a phony. All right, people were looking for alternative leadership. And while Andrew Scheer might have appeared to be a reasonably nice guy, maybe a decent enough sort, he seemed to fundamentally fail to provide believable leadership. and leadership that one could trust. He came across really in a way that you were left with the question, does this guy really have it? And that's, of course, a fatal impression to leave with the electorate. Trudeau's not very good. That's already proven. But does Andrew Scheer have anything really better? Other than perhaps being a decent enough guy? Well, that question was left many people in doubt. Now, of course, that left never much of a contender, Elizabeth May of the Green Party, who is a preachy old girl, and the good numbers that the party had at one point seemed to fade as the election came closer. They elected three people, which was still the best showing ever, but still, not certainly what they had hoped for. And that then in Quebec, there was a resurgent separatist Bloc Québécois, and they picked up a number of seats. One interesting thing was that the province of Quebec defeated every single sitting member, all 15 of them, of Jagmeet Singh's New Socialist New Democratic Party. Very important, because he had he continued to flaunt national standards by wearing a turban. It's his right, of course. He can wear a turban if he wants. But it's pretty hard to see him as a Canadian. And Quebecers, perhaps more sensitive to these things than some, did not see him that way, and he was overwhelmingly rejected. So the 40-some seats that he entered this election with were reduced to 25. Not perhaps the disaster that some had foreseen, but certainly much worse than he had hoped for. So that was good. Andrew Scheer did not get the majority. He's the opposition. Justin Trudeau, in order to govern, is going to have to, either on an issue-by-issue case, make deals with other parties or form some sort of coalition, perhaps less likely. We failed to achieve what I would have hoped would be the full-scale purging of the Trudeau Liberals. That's not what we would have hoped to have accomplished. An example of the really sleazy, dirty trick occurred. Surfaced very late in the election, last Friday. It was revealed that Warren Kinsella, his I love the name Daisy Group. I always think of Daisy Chain. Now, Warren Kinsella was a hatchet man for the Liberal Party. He was a Liberal Party advisor in his early days in the 1994 election that brought Jean Chrétien to power. And he wrote a book. He was a backroom boy who coordinated many of the dirty tricks of the Chrétien campaign. And he liked to boast, he even liked to call himself the Prince of Darkness. That he was such a gutter fighter that people were afraid of him. Now, not to take away from any of the sleazy moves he might have pulled in that election, it might also be pointed out that defeating Kim Campbell was not the mark of any political genius. After 8 years of the red Tory government of Brian Mulroney, leadership, Brian Mulroney had the good sense to bail out in time. He'd become known as Lying Brian. And that image had become fixed in the minds of Canadians, and it was pretty clear they were not going to vote for him again. So rather than go down in a hopeless cause with the ship, Brian Mulroney decided to vacate the Conservative Party leadership and turn it over to Kim Campbell. She was going to be Canada's first female prime minister, and so on. Well, it was not to be. In fact, she would lead her party into a complete disaster. They were reduced to 2 seats. She didn't even retain her own. Okay, so very clearly the air was, the times were ripe for change. 8 years of Conservative government, it wasn't beyond the realm of possibility. The people, the voters, rightly or wrongly, would want a change. So my point being, Warren Kinsella's vaunted political skills were perhaps considerably overstated. But anyway, he took a good deal of credit for Chrétien's victory. And he even wrote a book about the campaign, hailing himself as the Prince of Darkness. In 1994, he also brought out a book about what has become a lifelong obsession, and that is Canada's free speech and nationalist movement. The book was called Web of Hate, Inside Canada's Far Right Network. Well, needless to say, he didn't come out in favor of free speech. He spun all sorts of connections and conspiracy theories in a book that was absolutely riddled with errors. One chapter alone that dealt with the Heritage Front, which is a strong white nationalist movement that had peaked just before Kinsella's book. One chapter of that group alone contained 37 errors of fact, according to Bill Dunphy, who was then in those days a reporter for the Toronto Sun and something of a self-styled expert on the Heritage Front. So for what it's worth, even a fellow anti-racist found the book quite flawed. Anyway, Kinsella would go on to pursue several careers. He's a lawyer, though he doesn't seem to practice much. He's been a lobbyist. He writes a newspaper column from time to time. And more recently, he and his, I think it's his second wife, Lisa, have formed a lobbying, a political consultancy called Daisy Group. Anyway, here's the story of one of his latest dirty trick, which seems to have bounced back to at long last to have exposed him, even among some of his liberal friends, as just a sleaze. Warren Kinsella's Daisy Group consulting firm was behind a social media campaign to put the People's Party of Canada on the defensive and keep leader Maxime Bernier out of the federal leaders' debate, according to documents presented to the CBC. So what was he trying to do? Well, first of all, smear another political party for hire. He was hired to do this. And he was hired by the opposition Conservative Party. That's right. Obviously parties have their differences. Fair enough. The honorable thing would have been for his party to air their differences, more or less man to man, in debates, which would come about. But no, what the Conservatives wanted Kinsella to do was to try to blacken the name of the People's Party of Canada in such a way that they would not be allowed into the prestigious and important television debate, leaders' debate. Now, this is not only highly undemocratic, it's highly sleazy. It's sleazy on both parts. I would say typical Warren Kinsella that he'd do such a thing, but disappointing on the part of the conservatives that they would hire this sleazebag to do such a thing. Oh, if I may digress just a moment from that part of the story. Earlier this year, word got out that the Green Party of Elizabeth May had hired Warren Kinsella for political advice. Now, not surprisingly, this did not sit well with some of the more idealistic members of the Green Party. The Green Party, and you know, I grant that some of their members are idealistic. I think many of their policies are wrong-headed. I certainly don't have a problem with wanting to preserve a clean environment. I might disagree with some of the methods and the psychotic anti-carbon attitudes, but nonetheless, I mean, I grant that some of the Green Party members are well-meaning, idealistic people. Well, they had serious problems with the idea that their party would hire Warren Kinsella, you know, the Prince of Darkness, because the Greens had hoped to, quote, do politics differently, do them a different way, and tell truth to power. Well, Warren Kinsella is pretty much the textbook political operative. Anyway, back to the story. The documents outline the work done by several employees of DAISY on behalf of an unnamed client. A source with knowledge of the project told the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation News that the client was the Conservative Party candidate. This story was actually first reported this past Friday in the Globe and Mail. According to a source with knowledge of the project, the objective of the plan, dubbed Project Cactus, was to make the Conservative Party look more attractive to voters by highlighting People's Party of Canada candidates and supporters' xenophobic statements on social media. The source added that DAISY employed 4 full-time staffers on Project Cactus at one time. Now that's a lot of manpower. That's a lot of bucks in there, right? Kinsella is a lawyer, anti-racism activist, and former Liberal strategist who's been a vocal critic of Liberal leader Justin Trudeau. If I might just digress a second. Yes, in the past year or so, he has been a very vocal critic of Justin Trudeau. And you say, well, maybe he's finally come to his senses. Well, that might be true. He denounces Trudeau's personality cult. That might be true. I mean, sorry, it might be true that he has come to his senses. There's another recurrent story going the rounds, and that is that Kinsella has simply not managed to score lucrative contracts with the Trudeau government, you know, consulting contracts. Several reasons. One is that Justin Trudeau is from a younger generation. Justin Trudeau is 45. Warren Kinsella is 59. Justin Trudeau surrounds himself with people of his own generation, particularly his close buddy, Mr. Butts. I don't make this stuff up. Butts has been a friend and companion since university, and is reportedly the major influence behind Justin Trudeau's fanaticism about climate change. It used to be global warming. Well, whatever it is, you know what I mean. The excuse to try to get rid of our carbon industry. You know, basically shut down much of Western Canada if he could get his way. Well, anyway, Kinsella apparently has not been able to score the contracts he would have liked because Justin Trudeau relies on other people for advice. And also, Kinsella is somewhat tainted. His very reputation as being a hatchet man was contrary to the image. Now, I'm not saying the reality, but the image that Justin Trudeau tried to create of himself as Sunny Ways. It's just trying to say, like the Green Party, somebody who wants to do politics differently, or at least pursue sunny ways. So the politics of the hatchet man and so on, it wasn't quite what fit the Trudeau image. And you know, I say rightly or wrongly, that I'm not saying that's even the reality, but that certainly would be Trudeau's attitude. So Kinsella also had, over the years, in various other campaigns, burned bridges with a lot of other members of the Liberal Party. In a leadership campaign that involved Paul Martin, Kinsella's favorite candidate, the one he was backing, was a fellow by the name of Rock, Alan Rock. And in the battle for delegates to the leadership conference, these battles were fought riding by riding, and it was not unusual for one side or another to bus in large bands of, let's say, Sikhs from the ethnic community, easily controlled and gathered together to stack the meeting to vote for delegates to their guy. Well, anyway, at one particular meeting, Paul Martin's forces managed to challenge the credentials of some of Alan Rock's supporters who were Sikhs. So, ever ready to call anybody who crosses them a racist, Warren Kinsella suggested that Paul Martin was a racist. Well, one may say many things against Paul Martin, but it was stretching all imagination to call that guy a racist. This wasn't Warren Kinsella's only venture into just plain nuttiness. He was worked for the campaign of socialist Olivia Chow, who ran for mayor of Toronto unsuccessfully in 2010. Now, Olivia Chow was a socialist, and the man who was in 2014. Anyway, her main opponent was John Tory. And John Tory was he's a wishy-washy marshmallow establishment guy. He's no friend of freedom. But anyway, John Tory, has one of his major campaign planks, a rapid transit line. And its route, according to Warren Kinsella, would avoid several Ontario housing areas that were, you know, fairly heavy with blacks. On behalf of the Olivia Chow campaign, Warren Kinsella denounced John Tory as a white supremacist or a white supremacist transportation plan. Well, that just so over the top. You know, whatever you might say about John Tory, you can hardly consider him as a white nationalist or white supremacist. Certainly is not, quote, one of us. In fact, this was so outrageous, even for an election campaign, that Olivia Chow dropped it. So this is the background. So Warren Kinsella apparently had not been making much inroads in Ottawa. Now, whether this reflected a really deep-seated disagreement with Justin Trudeau, or whether it's not, it helps explain why longtime Liberal operative Warren Kinsella didn't seem to be as welcome in Liberal circles as he once was, and so he wasn't getting the contracts. So for reasons legitimate or otherwise, Warren Kinsella started making Liberal Party noises. I'm sorry, Conservative Party noises. So he thus ends up taking a contract from the Conservative Party to basically smear real populists in Maxime Bernier's People's Party of Canada, with a view to perhaps keeping him out of the leadership race. Keeping himself out of the television leadership debate. Now, this is especially reprehensible. You know, in an election, what is good for Canadians? Well, what's good for Canadians is the opportunity to hear all candidates, right? That would be the just thing, would it not be? The opportunity to hear all candidates, not. Now, it would certainly serve the Liberals, serve everybody's interests, the Liberals, but perhaps the Conservatives most of all, if these people, if real challengers like Maxime Bernier could be excluded. But it's pathetic that... the Conservatives would try to engineer this. Oh yes, and in the desire to keep Maxime Bernier out of the debates, which in the end didn't succeed, but he joined in that effort. What was the Prince of the Punjab, Jagmeet Singh, the leader of the NDP? I've always warned about. The bringing of foreign influences into our political system. Jagmeet Singh brings the not very democratic traditions of other lands. I don't want to say that Punjab is any shining model of democracy. And he wanted Maxime Bernier excluded. Anyway, I may be wandering a little bit, but from the people who actually, gave the contract, and that was the Conservative Party. Now, this is where it gets really, really pathetic. Repeatedly asked to confirm or explain his party's involvement during a campaign event in Toronto this past Saturday, Conservative Party leader Andrew Scheer refused to answer. He was asked this again and again, and here was his stock reply. As a rule, we never make comments on vendors that we may or may not have engaged with. Vendors, well, okay, he means people he hired for. Now, this is the party that rightly excoriates the Trudeau government for secrecy, or I guess the in term these days is lack of transparency. Good point. But here he's asked, did you or did you not hire Warren Kinsella to do this smear job on the People's Party of Canada? Answer, as a rule, we never make comments on vendors that we may or may not have engaged with. This is just plain nonsense. Now listen to it. At least I think I can play this clip for you. And this reflects very little credit on him. I think I can play it. Well, maybe I can't.
We don't make comments on vendors that we may or may not have been engaged with.
So to that end, did your party hire Mr. Kinsella to attack the Liberals?
As I said, we don't make comments on vendors that our party may or may not have
Yes or no, did you hire Mr. Kinsella?
As a rule, we never make comments on vendors that we may or may not have engaged with.
Why does the great privacy or secrecy about this? Why can't you be transparent with Canadians about this contract?
As a general rule, when it comes when it relates to party matters, we don't comment on contracts we may or may not have with vendors.
Why?
It's we don't offer comments. We
that's
don't make comments
acceptable.
On,
you should, you
on
should,
contracts
you
that may or may
question.
Not exist.
You should be transparent about
well,
this. Why can't you answer this question?
When it comes to internal party matters, when it comes to contracts that may or may not exist, we don't offer comment.
Mr. Scheer, is it ethical for a party in the middle of an election campaign to hire a skullduggery firm to potentially dig up dirt on an opponent? And if the Liberal Party did this, would you be demanding transparency from them?
Well, we're not going to make comments on contracts that may or may not exist.
I'm not asking for a contract. I'm asking the principle of digging up dirt on your opponent and hiring a firm to do it secretly.
And I said we're not going to make comments on contracts that may or may not exist or with vendors that we may or may not have. So as a rule, we don't make comments on contracts that may or may not exist or vendors that we may or may not have.
What is the rule?
Now, you know, you heard the sequence, and it was pathetic. Andrew Scheer may be a reasonably decent person. I don't have a strong opinion counter to that. But he looked to me and sounded like a naughty schoolboy caught by his mom doing something bad. We won't speculate what. And he's just simply stonewalls. And he doesn't look very honest. That's the point. He doesn't look very believable. Now that's a problem with a politician. It's even a greater problem when you're trying to replace an already sleazy person, Justin Trudeau, and your stock in trade is that we're going to be transparent. Well, here he's asked, did you hire this Warren Kinsella to do a smear job on your opponent, the People's Party of Canada, and its leader, Maxime Bernier? Did you? Yes or no? His answer is, we never comment on vendors that we may or may not have engaged with. That wasn't the question. The question was, did you hire this guy? Answer, one or two possible answers. Yes, we did, or no, we didn't. Well, if the answer is no, we didn't, let's be done with it. Say no, we didn't. Somebody else did. I would agree there are other possible suspects, people who hate the populist party, the immigration reform policies of Maxime Bernier, and so on. But I won't bother naming who those possible suspects are because it's quite clearly who did hire Warren Kinsella, and that was the Conservative Party of Canada. And not only is that sleazy, Andrew Scheer looked... He looked dishonest, and that's fatal. And, you know, I'm wondering if going into the election, you know, people are influenced by many things, many impressions, and so on. I wonder if going into the election, into the polling booths a couple of days later, many Canadians came away with that impression of Andrew Scheer, and it made them think again. Maybe he just isn't the one. Jagmeet Singh, of course, that's the guy from the Punjab with the turban, said any plan to subvert a political party is troubling. I've made it clear that I don't believe someone like Mr. Bernie should have a platform to spread hateful messages. I think his messages are wrong, he said during the campaign. Well, he didn't want him to have a platform either. Okay, well, what did Warren Kinsella say? He said, we don't ever discuss client matters. We are always proud, however, to be fighting racism and intolerance. Yeah, well, he's a fanatic, and yes. And you know, this, and I've suggested this quite often to people, the anti-racism is a code word for anti-free speech and fundamentally anti-white. Now, the anti-racists that we're sometimes familiar with are the street thugs. They're the ones who tried to block an 81-year-old disabled lady pushing a walker, slowly trying to get her way into a Maxime Bernier meeting in my hometown of Hamilton a couple weeks ago. That's the street punk. Screaming female or she-male behind a bandana, screaming about you know, no Nazis here and so on, against an old lady who whose family had actually fought in Canada in the war, in World War II. You know, that's the street thug, the ones who try to break up meetings, punch people out, block little old ladies, and so on. That's the street level. But there is the higher level in society, the ones who write for newspapers, who run public relations firms, and so on, the Warren Kinselas. They are equally anti-free speech, equally anti-white, and here's Warren Kinsella. Actually obfuscating the same way that Andrew Scheer did. We don't ever discuss Clyde matters. We're always proud of our to fight racism. Let's see, what else did he say? The actual campaign did research in March and April, and in the second phase of the campaign, known as Seek and Destroy, started on April the 16th, they had Daisy set up this Project Cactus with a WhatsApp chat room, and made comments, critical comments of People's Party of Canada candidates or supporters, and tweeted out a lot of things like stamp out hate, and so on. And with one of the documents that was leaked to the CBC, Daisy will create an arm's-length organization that cannot be linked to the client, that's the Conservative Party, or any participating organization. This organization will run a proxy war room public relations campaign that allows Canadians to shine light on the prejudice and hate that's associated with the People's Party of Canada, a Daisy consultant wrote. Now, when he was finally exposed, and there's a lot of embarrassment in many quarters. One area of it, source of it, or group that was embarrassed were some of Kinsella's media outlets. Like, he'd written over 40 columns for the Toronto Sun, many praising the Conservative Party, two blasting the People's Party of Canada, and that's all fair. I mean, a person who's got a columnist has a right to an opinion. However, he had not disclosed his connection, that he was actually being paid through much of his time by the Conservative Party. Now, that is a conflict of interest. If you declare it, no problem. If you say, you know, I'm a consultant for the Conservative Party of Canada, that fair enough. But the reader has a right to know. Well, these media outlets, including Sun Media, are feeling the heat, as is radio station CFRB 1010. That's an all-news station, and from time to time, Warren Kinsella has been on it as a commentator. And I heard the other night the rather pained reaction of some of his fellow columnists, that they had not been informed, that Warren Kinsella had not been straight with them, telling them that he'd been basically a paid hack for the Conservative Party, which would have been okay had he revealed it. Well, anyway, Saturday, Warren Kinsella put out a boo-hoo. Listen to it. It's been quite a day. After a decade or more, I've deactivated Twitter and Facebook. I've had it. I may be back on social media. I may not. I don't know. I'm pulling back from other media, too. My family and my work colleagues don't deserve what they've been going through. No, somebody's been saying what we've been doing. One of them even had to change her cell phone number today. It got so bad. Really? Maybe. I wonder. Also, I'm sick. I don't know what he's sick with, but okay, also I'm sick. So enough is enough. I'm a lawyer. I'm not interested in getting disbarred. I've been researching, writing about, and opposing racism for more than three decades. Maxime Bernier and his People's Party are indisputably racist. They are bigots. They're anti-Semitic and homophobic. They have anti-Semitic and homophobic members. If someone wants to join forces with me to meet Bernier, I will welcome it. I'm proud to oppose bigots like Bernier, paid or not. And the client who wanted to expose and oppose bigotry, they deserve credit, not criticism. So, interesting is this notion that he got caught out, but he's not going to talk about it, and that, but he feels sorry for himself, he's come under pressure, and you know, this is part of the shtick or act. Canadian anti-racists particularly always go into, and that is, we're so persecuted, I'm so vulnerable, I need protection. Richard Warman's done that during some of the Section 13, that's the Internet Censorship Section of the Canadian Human Rights Act, that Sessions said he instigated. He was protected in some cases by as many as five government paid for bodyguards. Why? Because anti-racism is such a dangerous thing. He and people like Kinsella has smeared reputations, tried to damage people's lives. He wanted to drive Dr. James Sears into bankruptcy to stop publication of Your World News. That's the sort of street brawler sleaze that Warren Kinsella is. And now, I'm under so much pressure, I'm drawing back, my family doesn't need it, my employees don't need it, I'm feeling sick. And this is an act. Now, and he's pulled it before. Back in 1994, when his book Web of Hate first came out, he gave an interview to the Toronto Star where he said that he and his then wife would check into hotels under assumed names because of threats by neo-Nazi hitmen and hitmen sent by Muammar Gaddafi, who was then the leader of Libya. Kinsella had written a previous book about the alleged connection between Canada's right-wingers and Gaddafi. I don't know how many people took any of this seriously. I always, at the time, had problems, even in those days, wondering how one checks into a hotel under an assumed name. Because even back then, you pretty much had to present a credit card. Now, unless you've got a credit card under somebody else's name, I guess that's possible. I always thought it was a little bit of drama, and there wasn't too much substance. But then, of course, I took note of the fact he claimed he was leery of hitmen, supposedly sent by Muammar Gaddafi and Canadian skinheads. Okay, flash forward to today. Okay, it's what, 25 years since the date. And what has or has not happened? Well, I'll tell you what hasn't happened. Nobody's ever done anything to Warren Kinsella. Why is that? Where are all these hitmen, the neo-Nazi hitmen? the neo-Nazi hitmen... hitman for Muammar Gaddafi. I've always thought these were the most incompetent would-be assassins that ever were. Well, of course, that wasn't the case. It was just more drama and fantasy. So Warren Kinsella is temporarily on the sidelines, guarding his privacy and wanting it to cry a big old tear for the pressure of being an anti-racist. All kidding aside, he's being caught out. He's being caught out doing something very sleazy for a client who really should have known better. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side. We're going to take a short musical break. Play a couple of songs from Buck Owens, the man who brought Bakersfield Country to Nashville in the 1960s. Buck Owens.
Oh, the sun's gonna shine in my life once more. Love's gonna lift
singing that I was gonna live here again. I hear bees a humming and I know the days are coming that I was gonna live here again. That I was gonna live here. Looks like